Welcome to Classically Current, where we review new films every week and link them together with classic films of the past. With your host, Zach
and Kyle.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, welcome back to Classically Current, folks.
Boy, do we have a treat for you this week. We have been recently getting into our Christmas films. This episode is airing around Thanksgiving time, so this will be perfect for the holiday season. If you guys remember, last year on our show, we had a group of people that chose specific Christmas movies that meant a lot to them. And we had seen all of them except for one film that we had talked about last year, which is Mary Frischman and Krista Frischman's favorite Christmas film, The Christmas Card.
Woo!
And now we have a group of people together for a post reaction to the movie. We all just saw it. So who we have here is Krista herself.
Me.
She was on our episode last year. She loves this movie. She gives this a 10 out of 10. This is her favorite film. Well, I guess your favorite Christmas film, but maybe one of your favorite films of all time. And we also have, of course, Kyle with us.
Hey, didn't think I would ever have to experience this moment. Or, no, I mean get to experience this moment. But here we are, and I...
Trapped.
I got to witness it.
Yeah. Witness it. After hearing how much my mom and Krista, who is my sister, watch this film every year, how much they love it. It's fun to finally get to watch it. We also have my other sister, Kiana, here, my dad, who has bravely come to watch this movie with us after you've seen it probably multiple times in the background with mom as she was probably making you watch it all the time, every Christmas. And we also have Mikey, return to the podcast, who also, if you remember, did Elf for us last year. Wasn't it Elf?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was.
And I've done Mulan as well.
And we will be rebroadcasting those as well. We will rebroadcast the Christmas Card episode as well. But thank you all for coming. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get into this film and tell... But first of all, Krista, why don't you tell us once again, like you did last year, why you love this film and why you give it a 10 out of 10.
Okay. Hello, people. I'm not on the spot for
walk us through the movie.
What?
Some highlights.
Okay, well, how about we start with Mikey and we'll come back to you.
Why I love the movie?
Yes.
How about yourself on the top? I mean, from the quality of the scenes, I mean, I think we said Hans Zimmer is the one who did the score. Obviously, he does a great job all the time in every movie that he's done. And
I think this is a little below him.
Is it? Okay.
A little beneath Hans Zimmer.
It's close. I mean, this movie is one of a kind. In that, it is like every other Hallmark movie, I hear. Yeah.
Yes, because this did release on Hallmark, I believe, in 2006. And this movie is very, very hard to find. So it is a, I guess, a golden goose, you could say.
A cult classic.
A cult classic, I guess.
Which cult, we're not sure.
But it's kind of turned into a cult classic, I guess, for my family, at least. And since its release in 2006, you know, there's been a lot of Hallmark movies that have come after this. And nowadays, there's a lot different feel, I feel like, in Hallmark movies. I've watched some bits and pieces recently. There's a lot more, inclusion, I guess you could say, compared to this movie. The lighting's a little bit different. I think there's even more Christmas that's shoved into your face with the Hallmark movies that you have nowadays. And, of course, everything is kind of heightened and cheesy and that sort of thing in Hallmark movies, but there's something about this one that I felt like my mom and Krista really enjoyed. And I think that's just the humor that Ed Asner brings to the movie. I think that's probably the best part of it. And it's just a family that's, a military family trying to get their daughter to come to the realization that there's this very special person in front of her that she needs to pay attention to. And it brings in the holiday season, as is this small town in Nevada City where you have a Christmas. I mean, he's a logger, right, Mikey?
Yeah, I mean, she's just a small town girl living in a lonely world.
Yes. And it's her father who owns a logging company. So you have Christmas trees being cut down. You have them going to ceremonies singing Christmas music in the Christmas churches. And they have, not Christmas churches, but the churches that are in the...
The one church.
The one church in this small town. And they
Nevada
have
City.
All the lights and the cabin. It's like lit very romantic, too, for the couple to have a lot of different interactions as well.
The couple and the guy that... ends up with a girl.
So to recap what the movie is about.
That's a spoiler there, Mikey.
Sorry. Oh, spoiler alert.
For the fans who have not seen it, we will try not to spoil too much, but it's going to be kind of hard. Okay, we already kind of talked about briefly what it is about. But Krista, if I had to put it in a nutshell, it's about this soldier who is coming off of duty to he's coming off of duty to give some army tags to a fallen soldier's wife. So he comes to this small town to get some respite, some R&R, some rest and relaxation. And in the process of him coming back, he meets the person who has been sending him cards in the mail, and it's been helping him along as he's been going through a hard time in his job in the military. And it's about him being invited into this Christian family in Nevada City, and obviously there's love interests that are there. There's jealousy being involved because she's with another person, but ultimately, you know, it's just a classic Hallmark movie, Mikey.
It's a classic.
There's a lot of different ways of doing the same thing, but this was kind of an army military bend on the story. But Mikey, I guess since you're here, you talked about Elf last year and how much you love that movie for Christmas. What does this movie bring to the table for you for Christmas? And why do you like it so much? Why is it your favorite?
I mean, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, can you really count the ways and define what is favorite? Maybe we should break that word down a little bit.
It's good.
Yeah, it's great. It's a lot of twists and turns. Some you just don't even see coming. Maybe that's the twists and the turns.
I think the biggest surprise for me was the boyfriend's hairdo. I didn't see that coming when he stepped out of that car.
Yeah, it wasn't a super handsome guy for competition against main character.
Not at all. I would feel like he's no competition.
In the looks department, but obviously.
He drives a Porsche, guys. I mean.
He's also insanely jealous, though.
Yeah, no. He's super
bad superior. Bad qualities right there.
And his wine quality, and his wine job. So.
Poor taste in wine, probably, too.
That's right. What a whiner.
Well, it's interesting, Mikey, that this character...
Are you always speaking to Mikey?
This is a conversation between you.
Sorry, guys. This is unfiltered. It's an unfiltered reaction to this movie.
This is unplugged.
We had a lot of fun, I will say, watching this movie. I've had a lot of different movie-going experiences this year, but I think this is the most fun, having a big group of people to watch a nice, wholesome family Christmas movie.
That's wholesome.
Mikey, they show no blood, and it's like a war scene at the beginning. I mean, sure. How much... that's wholesome.
So, yeah, we need to talk about that.
We need to start off with the first part of the movie.
I mean, the first part of the movie. I actually think that this movie could have... followed through maybe more on some of the war scenes, or just showing a little more of that. Like maybe show the significance of him being gone for so long and how it affects his relationships with other people. And instead we get, 2 seconds of a guy that kind of gets blown up. Not really.
He gets pushed over.
And apparently he dies. It didn't look like he was going to die, but he dies. So yeah. Mm. it's the bloody lips.
I kind of wish that they would have maybe talked more about that part.
Yeah, I guess to talk about this movie a little bit more critically, it is 83 minutes long. It is very sped up, I guess. It's very lean, I guess you could say. Yes. It's not really focused on developing or spending too much time developing certain beats to the story. I mean, it's kind of things happen that are just convenient for the story to kind of move forward, I felt like. Mm-hmm. Which is okay. I mean, it's a short movie. It's supposed to be a certain time frame for a TV audience.
And this came out in 06, and I'm sure like, that's still during the war. I'm sure that it would have, you know, been a movie that would have struck home for a lot of other families with, you know, military and things like that. So, I mean, maybe it struck a chord for a lot of people when they... If they saw it, but
I mean, who then again, it's a Hallmark.
So I mean, I didn't hear about it until last year. So 14 years later,
and still going.
And again, it's a cult classic from 2006. People watch it every year, right?
Every year.
And now I'm going to bring my dad onto the scene because he has been through this movie how many times? Every year, probably since 2006, at least one time. My mom wants to watch this. And Dad, I guess, what is your experience with Hallmark movies, and why is this one better than some of the other ones that you've seen?
I would have to say, as an individual who has been subjected to multiple Hallmark movies, which... Let's be honest. They're not any of them are high budget. Okay, so that being said, there's always going to be choppiness when it comes to a movie. It's not necessarily a movie. It is a nice little, usually Hallmarks are nice little towns with fancy people that have fairly simple lives, and they all kind of, you know, their lives kind of mingle together somehow, and romance blossoms, and so on and so forth. You know, the pretty standard arrangement that you see from a Hallmark movie. This movie, to me, is different than some of the other Hallmark movies I have seen, because usually you can predict fairly easily. In fact, I can mouth the words that come out of people's mouths from some of these movies that you see. And they're because they're all the same. It seemed like they're all the same. So this one seemed to flow a lot better than a lot of them that I've seen. And it seemed to have a story that really could be believable. Some of the Hallmark movies I've seen, the stories are just... they could happen, but not in my life. And you know, it wasn't too corny. Some of them are overly corny. And the romance seems to be something that could progress. You could see something that could progress in this relationship. And that's something that could happen. And, you know, some of these other ones, I don't know, a little bit unbelievable. So for me, it stood out a little bit better among... some of the other Hallmark movies I've seen, it seems to stand out a little bit better as far as that goes.
Perfect, Daddy-O. Well, I'm glad you were able to watch it with us this time with a new audience, as Kiana had not seen it, Mikey had not seen it, Kyle had not seen it, and I had not seen it as well. And so I think we're also going to talk about, let's just start off with what we liked about it, Kyle, since you're here. I see your face right now, Kyle, and you're very shocked that I just asked you that question, but I really am curious. This movie, you spent 83 minutes with the film, with a great audience behind you. What did you like about this movie?
I will say, there were some good shots that I was actually kind of pleased with some of the way it was shot. I thought that the set design was fine. Could have been maybe, I don't know, more snow or less, honestly. But, I don't know. It's, for to be on the spot here. I mean, I guess, yeah, I was kind of with Dana there. Like, something that you could see, like maybe a relationship progressing throughout the film. You do kind of feel a little bit of tension there between, you know, the boyfriend and then the guy who likes the girl. So there is that kind of playing into it that, you know, kind of keeps you interested a little bit or intrigued. And I mean, yeah, there's some nice moments throughout. A few funny moments. I like the guy with the sideburns.
The guy with the long hair.
Yeah, that one.
Richard.
Richard, that was his name. So, and Ed Asner was fine as the dad. So,
but you also have unintentionally funny things happening with the movie too.
Well, yeah, there's more unintentional, I think, than intentional. But you know, that's what adds to the charm of this movie.
Yes, it's like watching Room with an audience. I don't know if anybody has seen the movie Room, which has been panned by most people as one of the worst movies of all time.
Oh, you're talking about...
I'm talking about the original Tommy Wiseau Room.
Tommy Wiseau.
Where people sell out theaters to throw tomatoes at the screen watching this film because they know certain parts...
This was better than that.
It's better produced. Mikey, you haven't seen Room, okay? I don't think you've seen Room.
I am offended.
Have you really seen
it? I watched it along with the making of it video with, what's his name?
And you think this is not as good as Room?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Okay.
Because that one seemed, there were a lot more, I think in that movie there were a lot more unintentional funny things that happened that were just crazy. But, anyway.
Yeah, that's
fascinating. This movie makes a lot more sense. Yeah, definitely, at the end of the movie you leave a lot more satisfied.
But that means it's better told. That's why this movie's better than that movie. But that one is a unintentional comedy. But we won't harp on that too much because we're talking about this film.
That's the next one.
Because I'm going to talk about what movie I liked about it.
Next episode, join us, everyone. We're going to talk about
this. Next year, let's talk about Room for Christmas. That's kind of a holiday. I guess I haven't seen it in a while. I don't remember if there's any holiday things that take place. But anyways, I'm going to talk about my likes, and we can talk about our dislikes, and Crystal will tell us what her favorite thing about this film is, as it's one of her
favorite Christmas movies. Maybe some favorite quotes, too.
And some favorite quotes. I think for me, Krista, and everybody in the room, and our audience, I think there's just such... I feel like Hallmark movies and these types of movies are kind of like a guilty pleasure for a lot of people. And myself, at times, I enjoy myself watching these certain types of movies like this to bring in the holiday season when you don't have a lot of other things going on, not a lot of other things are playing on TV or playing in the movie theater, because it does bring a nice warm feeling to the holiday season. And the cheesiness, you know, I think everybody has like a cheese-o-meter that they have watching a movie. And this one, you know, really goes pretty high for me as a cheesy type of movie. But there's other ones in Hallmark's makes that I really just, like, I think me listening to my dad watch Hallmark movies and just being like, oh my word, or oh my goodness, that would never happen. Like, that type of stuff. That's when you know it's getting a little too much. And obviously there's moments in this movie that happens. But I think that's what's part of the charm, I think. And the way they... I think Ed Asner's character is like the more... I think he really ties the movie together. I think he's got just a good presence on screen, even at his age in this film. I mean, he just passed away this year. I think he was 92 or 93. So what is that? Was this 15 years ago. So he's probably in his... I suppose he would be late 70s in this film. But he just brings a certain charm and a good presence on screen to kind of help bring in the humor and what they're going for. He just adds a nice presence. And he's done a lot of this type of role for other films as well. But, I mean, also, Mikey, he was an elf as Santa Claus. So he can do just about anything. He's kind of a legend. But I think his performance is probably one of my favorite parts about this movie. But yeah, like you said, Kyle, there's some decent shots that they had, you know. They had they had a lot of Christmas cheer to be brought in with this film that I kind of like. But That happens in a lot of Hallmark movies as well. The one, and then we'll get into our dislikes. I mean, I don't want to talk too much about, like, all the things that, there's a lot of nitpicks, okay? We're watching this movie with an audience, and we're kind of, like, laughing almost at some of the unintentional things that happened, Kyle. But if you wanted to put, like, one thing that was a major, I guess, issue, what would you say? And then, Mikey, I'm going to ask you as well. And Krista thinks it's a perfect movie, so that's okay. So we want to ask her, but Kyle, sure. What would you say?
For me, most notably, was probably some of the actors. I would say that, I don't know, some of them are just kind of one note. Like, there's not a whole lot of expression in some of those actors at times. Where it's like, I mean, obviously you don't expect them to be major Hollywood stars. There's no Hollywood stars beyond Ed Asner, really, I would say. But I guess at times it's just, yeah, there's kind of those cheesy parts where the acting kind of is playing into that cheesiness a little bit, or just doesn't quite, fit the emotion of the scene at moments, especially the boyfriend. He was probably the most cringy character of all. And,
well, he had just a cringy look, he has a cringy face,
and the
cringy hair,
and just a cringy actor too. I don't know. He's not that good.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's all the acting. It's just, I think the problem that it boils down to is just, this film has to fit an 83 minute time frame, and I feel like they're asking these actors to do a lot, and asking them to have these certain reactions to convey a message in a short amount of time, and they just aren't up for the task, really, to really pull that off.
I think the movie is at times over edited.
It cuts, it's like, very edited.
It
really
almost moves too
weird.
Quick because it's like cutting into completely different scenes. And you're like, wait, what's this? What's the setup? What's going on? Where are we at? That happened to me a couple times where I'm like, I'm trying to follow along, and I'm like, it just kind of jumped ship into like the next
day, like,
or week or whatever.
Well, yeah, there's no actual time. I mean, it doesn't list how much time is going by. You kind of assume it's this Thanksgiving time and they stay until Christmas. Okay, well, I can kind of figure it out. And it's just the way that time passes here is just very fast, because it kind of has to be.
Well, I think this is typical of Hallmark movies. And I don't, you know, if for individuals who have never seen Hallmark movies,
don't waste your time.
This is it is entertainment for a lot of folks, mm-hmm. and is a lot of cheer, a lot of comfort, a lot of satisfying things that come from these Christmas movies from Hallmark. Otherwise, they wouldn't be so popular, and they are popular. And the thing is, just these things that you've just been stating are very typical of Hallmark movies. Not that they're bad; it's just that that's how they've operated. So, people who appreciate the Hallmark movies in general, they understand all this. This is going to be the way it is. It's going to be boy meet girl. It's going to be corny. It's going to be whatever. We just like the fact that they get together. We want to see how it happens. Mm-hmm. That's generally how people view it.
Yeah, well, it's like a comfort food. It's like, you know, when you're just kind of sick of the world, you want to be comforted by a movie like this, or a movie like what Hallmark brings each and every year. And also Netflix has really kind of done that same kind of model as well. They have a lot of this type of holiday cheer being brought on their service as well, so a lot of people are enjoying it. But Mikey, what would you say was, I guess, your worst part, or some downsides to the movie for you, if there are any? You know, I think this is your favorite film, so.
I mean, it may top my list now. Who knows? Top of a list. I'm not sure which list.
Your Hallmark list.
Top of my Hallmark
the
list.
The only one you see.
That's right. Top of my Hallmark list for sure. Maybe the critique that I think... we talked about this even a lot during the movie. The romantic pivotal points, like the kisses and stuff like that, were pretty bad.
They were so awkward.
Like, I don't know that they conveyed messages of intimacy even the ones that were meant to be kind of romantic were awkward, even between the main character and the two main characters. Like, they didn't feel like they landed a whole lot. Except
maybe the last one was okay.
The last one was okay. And even that, as the camera was panning, I thought, that's a weird camera pan. away to the end of the movie. But that was the only one that I thought was fine.
That's good points, Mike. Good points. I mean, there's certain points in this movie where just kind of laughable things kind of happen, but I think that kind of adds to the charm of the movie. So it's overall kind of an enjoyable experience as a group, as a communal group, watching this together. Watching it by myself, I would not feel the same way, probably. Yeah,
for sure.
Not at all. But it's a special type of movie to watch with a good group of people that have a lot of different movie-going experiences. And, you know, me and Kyle have obviously seen a lot of different stuff. This is Krista's, like, 10 out of 10 Christmas movie. If I had to put a war movie that's, like, really high up there, I really feel like something like Saving Private Ryan is, like, a really well-done movie that makes you have a lot of like impactful feeling for the characters in that film, especially the ending of that movie is one of the best. Obviously you have other war movies like Apocalypse Now or Full Metal Jacket or Platoon and stuff. We're not going to get into all of those, but if I was going to mention a movie that was like really high on my list for war movies, that would be one that's really spectacular. Obviously, that one is hard R, and this is like G, ultra, G rated, ultra G rated.
That beginning scene.
Well, maybe not the beginning maybe scene. PG. I guess. Who knows? Definitely. I mean, I've seen some PG. I've seen G stuff that has more like.
Yeah.
If anybody's seen Babe, that movie is like more PG.
That was a different time.
I mean, the bacon scene.
But Krista, this is the time. This is the moment we're waiting for. We want to hear your enthusiasm for this movie and why you chose and made us cookies and gave us cupcakes to have all of us come up here.
She went all out
to have this to is help us have a good time.
Just the best movie ever. Okay. I've been so nervous about it all week because I know these people. I know what kind of movies they're into. You know, I know they didn't enjoy it as much as they're saying
they did. Hey, we had a good time. With the movie.
With this group of people, it's fine to watch.
Yes, that's true. It was fun. I even laughed about the cringy, cheesy parts with my family because I knew they were coming. And I pointed them out the whole time. But I love this movie. It makes me feel homey. It makes me feel comfortable. It makes me feel like, oh, I want that. That looks so cool. And I did like how it flowed better than other Christmas movies, like my father said previously. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Okay, good. But I just liked everybody. I don't know exactly.
This movie is definitely like built on the emotion of it. Like, you're kind of living vicariously through the characters. Like, it's like you want your love story to be that way. Or you want it to be as romantic or whatever. So that's probably, like, just where it hits home with a lot of people.
Well, yeah, and there's specific moments in the film that dedicated that. Because you have this douchey-looking Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell, Tom Hanks. son. Yeah.
And he is a sharp contrast to Cody. And they show a lot of moments where that's the case. Cody's more generous. He's more nice. Cody comes and he brings pizza to her, to, what's her name?
Faith.
Yeah. Faith.
Yeah, and they're working. Have that little, what did you call it? What's that movie that you were referencing?
Oh, yeah, Pretty
With That Pizza.
Pretty Woman?
Pretty Woman moment.
They had a Pretty Woman moment with the pizza. If anybody doesn't know that on the show, watch Pretty Woman, you'll know what I'm talking about. But it's when Julia Roberts is getting a piece of jewelry from Richard Gere, and he does the famous, like, he opens the box and closes it on her hand. And there's, like, a fun, like, natural moment as she's like laughing at him, and that is totally unscripted. That wasn't meant to happen, but it is in the movie.
Do you think it's unscripted in this one?
No, in this film, I'm like, they've made them do that. I don't think that's an unscripted thing.
Didn't feel natural to you?
No, because it's everybody who's seen a like romantic comedy kind of knows that scene from Pretty Woman. And there's even, if you want to watch it on Netflix, they have Movies That Made Us. They even did a whole episode on Pretty Woman, and I watched that recently. So they were talking about that scene, but it's just funny that they brought it into this film. And it just, the moment kind of felt flat for me because I've seen that moment before, and it's not like in a, it just feels forced, you know.
Not as good.
Yeah. Not as good. But that's okay. But what we were saying, Kyle, is like they took a lot of time to contrast the two characters. Like Cody's doing these things for Faith, and then this guy is like all about, and it's not like they made him out to be like a huge, even though he looks like a douchey Will Ferrell, and he looks like a villain character. He like just let her go. He wasn't going to fight.
But that one scene.
Spoiler, Mikey, we're just talking about Hallmark movies. There's no way you can spoil it.
What about when they're in the woods there and he's just on his phone for like 2 hours and like he doesn't help them at all? Like that is like the ultimate douchey look. Like he didn't, and then he's complaining at like neck pain.
Yeah, after, he didn't do anything.
And after he like did nothing. Yeah.
And he's supposed to help her out with the trees and he didn't.
Oh, I think that's my favorite part.
Yeah,
of
but
the
that really
he...
turned on the main guy. Or the, I almost the douchey felt guy too soon.
Yeah, I did kind of think it was weird that the family was all just, like, really taken, strongly taking, like, the other guy's side, like, really quick.
Well, just to think about
just
this, though.
So fast.
Just to think about this. Ed Asner knows that Paul exists. He's been around for how long, Krista? Maybe a few years. He's probably...
He's done with him.
...thrilled to have Cody come into town. And even though he doesn't know him that well...
I was going to say, you know, he's a guy who comes into town carrying pictures that come from some random letter.
Yes, Mikey, but he gets to know him, and he likes his work ethic that he sees.
Yeah.
He likes
he saved
how
his
he
life
treats
for
people.
Yeah, yeah, for 4 weeks.
He is also a part of the military, so he knows how people are kind of cut in the military, the cloth that they're, you know, made out of. So he can relate to him better. And even he's taking that should show you how much he dislikes Paul. Is he's taking a chance on somebody that he barely even knows because he feels like that would be a better fit for his daughter.
I understand your point. It still doesn't, like, to me, if you haven't had that conversation with your daughter already, then maybe
she didn't want to hear it.
Maybe, sure.
Maybe she
he
wasn't.
He seems like he would share his opinion though. He doesn't hide anything.
Cody is what made him have that conversation to himself. Okay, he thought about that conversation once Cody awakened. Yeah. He's like, I didn't know I hated douchey Will Ferrell so much. But now I know that I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I just love how they just kind of created this villain character. Even though the Porsche, the jealous looks at the beginning, on the phone. Oh, I'm so busy on my phone for 2 hours.
It's I'm glad they at least funny. Kept it minimal, like, with him, like, being the villain. Like,
yeah.
If they, like, they get in, like, this big fight or something, it would have just made it so much more cheesy, I feel
like. It
would have
been way over dramatic. It would have been, like, soap and, like, opera territory. It would have been. That's true.
So, yeah. But,
yeah. I think so.
But as far as Christmas movies go and Hallmark movies, what did you think?
Yes, we gotta rank it as a Christmas. How Hallmark. Are we supposed to rank this?
Yeah, well,
a Christmas Hallmark movie or as a film?
Other Hallmark movies. It's pretty hard to compare it.
It's one of the best Hallmark movies I've seen, for sure.
It is the best Hallmark movie.
That's the only one I've seen.
It's hey, you heard it here, folks, on Classically Current. It's Kyle's favorite Hallmark movie of all time.
We're sticking with that answer.
And it's also his first movie that he's ever seen. But it is his favorite.
That's in the fine print. We don't read that. Okay.
So, we don't have to say that. But for me, as far as Hallmark movies go, I could see myself rewatching this. I mean, I've seen quite a few Hallmark movies in the past. And I think the reason is because of the experience I have with this fine group of people that we've brought together. Just reminiscing about the certain parts we were, like, laughing at, even though they're, like, unintentional, or some of them are intentional. It's just fun to watch a movie like this and kind of enjoy it as a communal experience. I've missed being able to do this. You know, we don't, with COVID and everything, you don't get to go to theaters as often, and you don't get to feed off the energy there. But it's good to see it at home.
I just want to say that to me, this moment kind of compares with the first time I watched High School Musical. All three of them, actually.
I think that's good.
We watched them with like my cousins and my family, and just we just had a ball, just like roasting everybody, like all the acting, just the songs were just totally ridiculous. And,
you just pushed it to the limit.
Yeah, to the limit. And it definitely kind of compares to that for me. You know, it's like it wasn't the movie I enjoyed, but it was the experience of being with the people I was with that I enjoyed.
So for me, I guess I would put it up higher. And now, Kyle, should we rate this on a scale of 0 to 10?
No, I don't think
just leave
necessary.
It at that, as Kyle
I
said.
I think the favorite is
really as a Hallmark nice. Film, I give it a 10 out of 10 for sure. As a regular film, I give it.
You don't have to say it.
Let's cut that out.
No, I think it's an enjoyable movie. It's just one of the things that I think is. You know, it's a 2006 film. Obviously, there's a lot of inclusion that's involved in movies these days. In Hallmark movies especially, they've really gone out of their way to make everybody involved. Different social groups, races, and, you know, different genders, different identities, and so forth. But this movie just does not have a lot of diversity, which is something that I thought was interesting, just going back in a time capsule 15 years ago and watching this movie. Now, this is a small town in Nevada. Maybe there's not a lot of culture, a lot of different people coming through, but it's a very white movie, which is interesting because it's Christmas with snow, which is also white, so maybe that was a theme.
That was
the theme of this movie.
White people.
White snow.
I might
have to edit that out.
It's a white Christmas.
Oh boy.
I just thought it would be fun to mention that there is just not a lot of diversity.
You might
want to
restart this part.
I might just cut
There's
this last
no
part
diversity.
Out. I guess. Yeah. The bottom line is, I think this is an enjoyable movie for the family that so many people can enjoy with a big group of people. It's nice, cheesy, good fun. And even though there's parts that people are going to cringe on, it's fun to experience that together. So with that being said, does anybody have anything else to mention before we wrap up this episode?
I disagree with you on the diversity part. I'm pretty sure that Paul was Jewish. And that's why he was the villain. I mean, come on, they gave him a Jufro.
You know what?
They gave him a Jufro. He hates Christmas. He's bad. I think that's what they were saying.
This movie is very racist.
I think this is Nazi propaganda right there.
This took a turn. I think we should end it.
Just when I was trying to end it.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh my goodness, we have to edit that out. Oh boy.
So funny.
Hey, my mom, unfortunately, fans couldn't make it for this one, but that's okay. We have little baby nephew that you can hear kind of crying, not crying, but he's kind of breathing, kind of heavy. So if you hear that in the podcast, that's my little nephew. He's a sweet boy.
Ozymandias.
But we haven't heard a lot from Kiana. Kiana, I guess we want to wrap up and say what makes this movie special. This is your first time talking, I know, and things.
I think I want to say one thing. I think the reason why Krista likes this so much is because my mother showed it, and I think it's more of a nostalgic thing more than anything else for her.
No.
Maybe that's not the only reason, but I think that's a big reason. Because I feel like you have other movies that are like, I don't know. There's better movies that you like. But I think that this is a relatively...
As far as Christmas and Hallmark go, no. This is the best
I think that Hallmark movies, I agree with... I have also sat through a lot of Hallmark movies in my day and at the Frischman household. And I would say that this is probably the best one. And I can get through this and it's really good. But I'm just saying that I think a big reason of why we do like this one is because Mom really liked it. And it's a good movie. Like, overall.
I'm trying to bring in psychology.
No! Just saying, I feel like that's
cool. Kim is so smart.
No, oh my goodness. Overall, it was a good movie. That's all I gotta say.
Perfect. I think that pretty much wraps it up here on the podcast, unless anybody else has anything else to say. But thank you guys once again for listening to our podcast episode on the Christmas card. It's been a long time in the making. We actually were able to get everyone's schedules aligned to watch it and to talk about it. So thank you, everybody, and thank you, Krista, and everybody for making some yummy treats for us as well. Thank you, everybody, for listening. So stay tuned for more Christmas episodes coming. We're going to try to interview some more people about their favorite Christmas movies as well, fans of the show. So if anybody else wants to talk about their favorite Christmas movies on our podcast, we do have a place to do that. In the show notes, there is a message that says, click here for if you want to leave a voice memo. So if anybody wants to leave a voice memo about their favorite Christmas movie and want it on the podcast, feel free to click on that and send us a voice memo. Thank you guys once again for tuning in.
If you like this, please be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so that you will never miss a show. If you found value in our show, we'd love it if you gave us a review so we can continue to grow and reach more enthusiastic movie fans in the future. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out as well. Be sure to check out our Facebook page, Classically Current Podcast, to receive updates on our show as well as vote on other films to review in the future. Thanks again for joining us, and as always, stay classy and stay current.